This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:14. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And up next, we have an interview that was actually conducted by Keith Kam from BFM News, who caught up with DAP Secretary General YB Lim Guan Eng to talk about a number of things. So Federal Territories Minister Tan Sri Anwar Musa's assertion that the opposition was willing to work with UMNO, political alliances within the opposition and where they stand, and DAP's plans ahead of the next GE. So just to say, this did take place last week before the announcement of the MCO and declaration of an emergency. But nevertheless, it is interesting insight into where the collective opposition's head is at, I suppose, at this moment in time. Here is how that conversation went.
YB Lim Guan Eng, DAP and Pakatan Harapan, 1 year on from the government. I'll start with a very broad question first before we get into more granular details. What has happened since February 24th, 2020, the Sheraton move? What has DAP been up to, as well as PH?
No, we have been working within PH to try to reclaim the mandate that the Malaysian voters gave us in the 2018 general elections. And we have, of course, rallied behind Dato' Sri Anwar as a PH leader. Whilst trying to reclaim the mandate, we want to also prepare ourselves for the next general elections. And when we talk about reclaiming the mandate, it's under very clear and unequivocal terms that there should be no cooperation with those who are involved with kleptocracy, as well as with the many 1NAB corruption cases. So I think we have made that very clear. So that reclaiming the mandate is not unconditional. It must be based on principles that PH upholds, and that is to provide an accountable, transparent, democratic, and of course, a government that listens and works for the people. We are actually carrying out many reforms. Unfortunately, we see many of these reforms being overturned by the present unelected government. For instance, the appointment of politicians to JLCs. I think that has actually caused many problems within the JLCs, has highlighted by Prasarana, the problems in Prasarana. At the same time, we also are quite sad to see that the government has basically abandoned the system of open tenders and the lack of emphasis on fighting corruption, the lack of good governance, and as well as political instability has led to Malaysia's sovereign credit ratings being downgraded. And I think that's a warning signal that unless we get back to democracy, we get back to the people's mandate, I think Malaysia will continue to suffer.
Where do the political alliances stand today with Pakatan Harapan? Just who is Pakatan Harapan today?
Oh, Pakatan Harapan comprises of PKR, DAP and Amanah. But we feel that we should enlarge it to include Pakatan Harapan Plus, which means the entire block of 108 opposition MPs. I think if you start from 108 opposition MPs, our effort to reclaim the mandate will be very much brighter, better than starting from 92 MPs. That is why myself and Mat Sabu, we urge a political reset so that we start from 109. Of course, one of our MPs passed away, so it's 108, but basically it's 109. Then we need only 3 MPs in order to reclaim our mandate. So I think the onus is on Pakatan Harapan Plus to unite and also to present a unified block so that it is much more feasible and more realistic for us to reclaim the mandate when you need only 3 MPs to support us, rather than starting from 92, where you need probably 30 MPs.
YB, since you brought it up, UMNO wants a general election in the immediate future, which is, and they're looking at Q1. How ready is DAP?
No, we don't agree with general elections. We are opposed to UMNO's calling for early general elections. We think that is against the national interest and, of course, the health and safety of ordinary Malaysians. We should not sacrifice our country for political expediency as well as political survival. of this small group of people. I think elections should be held off until the mass vaccination exercise is completed. And that's another problem, another failure of the present government, the fact that they could not secure early delivery due to their incompetence. It is a blunder of huge proportions, because we don't know how many people are going to die because of the two-month delay in securing the delivery of the vaccines. So we can only hold general elections after the vaccination is completed. We expect to be in the third quarter. And likely that because of Sarawak elections is also due by the third quarter, then you can have concurrent elections.
Now, be that as it may, UMNO has already started its manoeuvrings by saying that they're going to sever ties with Bersatu, which kind of leaves Tan Sri Muhyiddin with 110 MPs supporting him. How does this work out for DAP and or Pakatan Harapan strategically?
I don't think that Muhyiddin has 110. What is officially announced is that he has 110 after one UMNO MP declared withdrawal of support. But unofficially, he has a lesser number. The problem is that no one has a majority of MPs supporting them. I think this is where, as far as DAP is concerned, we are more focused on ensuring that Malaysians can get out of this COVID-19 public health crisis and win this battle. I think this is a very important battle that the country must win. So we talk about general elections, I think that should be deferred. And if you talk about fighting the COVID-19 crisis, everyone should get together. It's time that the government gets back to focusing on the people instead of themselves. And that's why there's a need to change the federal government.
In the meantime, though, there are some countries that have worked out with a minority government. Do you think that might work out with us in the meantime?
Well, but I think that should come from the government of the day. I mean, for us to go and make the proposal when we are not the government, I think this is not feasible. Most of the, what do you call that, unity governments, or the one that is forged, a national-oriented government in order to deal with the COVID-19 crisis in other countries, they're all initiated by the government of the day. But you see this government trying to play racial and extremist religious issues in order to rule, divide and rule. And I think that's unfortunate. There's no sympathy for the sufferings of the people. In fact, when we post many questions in Parliament, whether it's on COVID-19, whether it's on corporate governance, whether it's on the economy, we are always stonewalled. They refuse to provide answers. And until and unless you are focus on accountability and transparency, even on the COVID-19. I think it is this is one of the reasons why you see the surge in COVID-19 infections. I really have sympathy for the frontliners led by Tan Sri Dr. Noor Isham. They have worked very hard. They have put everything on the line. But I don't think they get the desired support from the politicians. And especially when the politicians are more concerned about their political survival than the national survival.
So now let's come back to DAP. I just wanted to talk about DAP a little bit because you guys are basically about 55 or so years old. DAP has always been seen as a Chinese party, despite many of your leaders are not so. It's just a perception. But what is being done to reform this image?
I think some will take time. If you look at our crowd of leaders, I think one of the most important challenges any party faces is succession planning. I think you can see that DAP has a very healthy group of first generation, second generation, third generation, even fourth generation leaders. Our elected reps come from various age groups as well as different genders. We try to achieve a gender balance. You know, even in our CC elections, we provided 30% quota for women leaders. But as I said, this will take some time. And if you look at DAP, I think we have a very healthy crop of young leaders, a much bigger group compared to other parties. Mm. So whilst the perception, of course, is that DAP is normally based, but we are a national and a Malaysian party. We have leaders from all races, and we are proud of that fact. Even Murud, we have Melanau MPs. I think this is a sign of progress for DAP, which we never had before. And we want to build on that. I think the future is for a multiracial Malaysia with mutual respect. And it should not be talking about dominance by one to the other. Because when you start talking about dominance, I think at the end of the day, the people loses out. One of the reasons why I think the majority of the Malays remain poor is because they have been shortchanged by their own leaders. With all the corruption cases, just by using race and religion, they are able to overcome or to whitewash all the corruption scandals. We have even national past leaders like Hadi saying that it's okay to support a Malay corrupt leader, even though he's corrupt, just because he's a Malay. I think this is not only wrong, I don't think any religion would allow that. So I think what we need is to have a Malaysian approach. Mm-hmm. Wrong is wrong. And that we should support leaders who take a Malaysian approach. But having said that, I must also admit and concede that we got to also accept the reality that the Prime Minister of the country or the leader of the country have to come from the Malay majority ethnic group. I think this is a reality that we accept. And that's why you don't see any DAP leader seeking to compete for the post of the Prime Minister.
Now, segues into this other topic. There's perception and there's a lot of rumblings that say that you and your dad have been portrayed as overly dominating the party. And it's understandable because Malaysian politics are very much personality driven. We have the Najibs, the Mahathirs and the Anwars. Right or wrong, this seems to be the de facto way to go. Just what are your thoughts on this?
No, DAP practices a very collegiate. In fact, we have collective leadership. Of course, the Secretary General as the leader of the party, people who think that Lim Guan Eng is DAP and DAP is Lim Guan Eng, and that's not true. If you look at our leadership system, it is very collective in nature. And when we go for meetings, I still remember our allied party asking us, actually, who is the leader of a party? Because when you come for meetings, you have many leaders, a diverse group of leaders, and all can make decisions. They all have the mandate. I think this all boils down to the fact that our collective style leadership engenders a high degree of mutual trust. So we trust our colleagues to make decisions in the best interest of the party. And I think this collective leadership works for the DAP. And you can see that DAP is a very united and disciplined group. Our 42 MPs that we won in the last general elections remain intact. I think we are one of the few parties where our MPs have not left us. And you are generally regarded as very disciplined because we continue this engagement process. We interact and communicate frequently with our MPs and our leaders. So for our opponents to say that you are overly dominated by so-and-so, I think that's not true. As far as Kit Sian is concerned, his role is more as an advisor and a mentor. No one can deny that his contributions not only to the DAP but also to the nation. And as far as I'm concerned, my fate depends on the members. I think just as they can elect me to be the leader, they can also throw me out from the leadership council if they wish to. So we do not practice an authoritarian type of leadership where those who differ from us will get the sack. In fact, I think we allow differences of opinion, and you don't see that turmoil in DAP as you see in other parties. I'm sure, Keith, you can see that in our press conference, that we all are tightly bonded group. We can have differences, and we are not afraid of differences. We are not afraid of those who air these differences. But we say that it's best if you can try to air it from within the party.
Right. Now, you acknowledged just now also that the party needs to be rejuvenated, made younger. Because, keep in mind that 18-year-olds can start voting in GE15. What are plans to do so?
We have the youngest MP and the youngest EXCO members in the country. Some of our youngest assemblymen is around 24, 25, and they were made EXCOs in the States. And we have a young MP also. So if you look at the average age group of DAP MPs, I think probably DAP stands out. Of course, we want to have more elected reps from women's groups, from previously unrepresented backgrounds. But as I said, this is ongoing process. And I think DAP has actually reached out. If you compare DAP leadership profile now and probably 15 years ago, you see a great difference. Compared to other parties, I think many remain the same. Because we want to, as I said, reflect and represent all Malaysians.
YB, recently you refuted Anwar Musa's suggestion that UMNO is going to work with DAP. I just want to pick your brains on this. Is this, can you totally dismiss it, or is there some way that you could work with UMNO, maybe given certain conditions?
No, Anwar Musa is just trying to drag us into his fight to save his own political skin. He intends to sell out UMNO tu bersatu. I think that is his problem. We are not interested in his internal factional fight. But for the heaven's sake, don't try to drag us in. Don't try to commercialize the DAP. We are not involved. For him to say that, oh, we are having discussions with UMNO to form a government, I think that is complete nonsense. I've never met Zahid or Najib to talk about this question of forming a government with UMNO. And I challenge Anwar Musa to state when such meetings are held. I think he knows very well, I've never met Najib. I've never met Zahid, except for when we pass along the corridors of parliament, we just pass each other by and just say hello, that's all. And I've stated before, I talked to Anwar Musa more than both of these leaders combined.
So this is totally out of the question.
Matters relating to, of course, federal territory and DBKL issues.
So this is totally out of the question for DAP.
Working with UMNO, yes, at the moment, no.
Right. Not even if it's politically expedient.
No, I think when you talk about working with UMNO, with these kleptocrats, people like Zahid and people at Najib, the answer is no. He mentions that. I think that's no.
There's talk that Pakatan Harapan should strengthen yourselves as a strong, formidable opposition ahead of GE15, basically to create a shadow cabinet lah, to scrutinize government policies. Do you see any benefits to this? And if it's possible that
definitely,
it can be done?
I think PH should focus just not on the numbers or trying to reclaim, solely focus on reclaiming the mandate. We should also articulate, I think, issues that the people are concerned about. Yeah, and these people-centric issues are the be-all and end-all. And we should also try to forge alliances. It's always better to have more friends than enemies. But of course, you must have friends that can are willing to endorse your principles. That's why, you know, when you talk about working with individual MPs across the divide, we have no problems with that. Individual MPs across the divide, provided they can agree with these basic principles. For instance, if there's any UMNO MP who wants to endorse our fight against one NDB, we have no problems working with that. Of course, whether there will be or not is an open question. But when you talk about working with kleptocrats, that's a no-no, lah. No way. Under any circumstances.
You also acknowledged just now that you know, for the prime ministership in Malaysia, it should be with a Bumiputra Muslim. One name that keeps cropping up every now and then is Dato Sri Shafie Abdal, meaning his Warisan Party will also have to be an official coalition member, not just a plus. How doable is this scenario?
I think you need to get the a consensus from the block of opposition MPs. At the moment, I think PH is endorsing Anwar Ibrahim. But I think what we want to see is a consensus leader from all 108 MPs. We would prefer for Anwar to lead 108 opposition MPs. Actually, 109, if you include Wee Kei Liu, who passed away, better than having 92. And I think the leader now is Anwar. And of course, Shafie Abdal, he has not actually made an open claim for it. But definitely, I think there'll be many other leaders that have been talked about.
You just heard YB Lim Guan Eng speaking to Keith Kam about a range of things, mainly centered around DAP's future plans and position within the opposition bloc. We're going to head to the news. We'll be back after this for Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.